The Morning Brew Podcast with Jaffe and Razor, sponsored by Berkshire Bank Home Lending. Where you borrow matters.
All right, so we promised you another morning brew. We promised you a preseason brew, I guess, right? As we get set for the 2022-23 season, Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor. And this one's coming to you after the Bruins lose 1-0 on Monday night to the New Jersey Devils in New Jersey, a team that, you know, again, had some NHL guys there, but far from the A team.
Yeah.
Perhaps even far from the B team.
Yeah, and it was far from a A team or B team effort, yeah. If nonetheless. Certainly.
What would you qualify or quantify? How would you quantify the Devils roster? Was that even a B?
It was a B. It was a B just because you have Hughes in the lineup. You had Dougie. You had Halla, you had Hamilton, you had Vanacek, who's probably not their starter, but you know he's one of their goalies as well. So it was a step up from what the Bruins had, but again, one of those dog days of preseason, right in the middle of camp, kind of where guys are ready to turn the page and get going with the regular season.
Yeah. A game that, you know, it's one of those, if you not only do you have to do it, obviously, schedule-wise, but this is where you want to see one of the bubble guys burst the bubble.
Yeah.
That's what this game's about. Because you're taking mostly bubble guys or below, mostly there. To say to them, because it's a Monday, because it's the dog day of preseason, you're saying to them, show me something and make it harder on me to say you can't be sent to Providence. Did anybody do that in this game?
No, nobody. I think that'll be the disappointment for some of the guys once they get on the plane and they get home tonight is that if one of those bubble guys had the effort tonight, or not the effort, they all worked hard. If they had
the performance
tonight, yeah. It really would have separated. Because we've seen a couple games now, and there have been a lot of good performance. We've talked about how competitive it is. We've talked about the guys stepping up.
Yep.
Nobody did that tonight. No one took a step back, but nobody stepped up. So there was a missed opportunity for just one of them to have had a night better than the others. And really put themselves having three good games in a row. That wasn't there tonight. So you come away hoping that someone was going to do that. You come away a little disappointed.
When I was able to really watch it, and I was doing a multitude of things, I noticed at times Jack Eichon a little bit more. But are we back to, though, you know, I mean, is he in the mix legit?
And, not for me, isn't
it? Yeah, no. And you know, can you have those two guys, assuming Matt Grizzlick, who is just barely ahead of schedule, and I just want them to be so safe. Anybody who's here, you know, don't come back too soon. Just be careful. But regardless, he's a little ahead of schedule, already skating now in a non-contact jersey with the team. But, I mean, can you have two guys that size in the line? And even Connor Clifton, who we know plays bigger than his actual size. But can you afford to have that anymore? Two smaller guys on the back end?
I don't think so. It worked. It works when you're Torrey Krug and you come into the lineup with Char and McQuaid and Miller and these guys. Like, that worked. This doesn't seem to work as well. It doesn't seem like the timing's very good for Jack. And yes, he moves the puck well.
Yeah, he
skates well.
That's what
he does those things like he does those things well. But when push comes to shove, I'm not sure that he does that much better than some of the other guys that he's up against, like a Mark, like a Riley, like a Clifton. I thought those guys played really well tonight as well.
Like, yeah,
those guys
Clifton
did
good
a good
numbers.
Job. They moved the puck well. They got into the rush. We've talked a lot about Montgomery wanting the D to step in and get in rushes offensively. I thought Clifton and Riley have done that as well as anyone through three preseason games.
Yeah, Riley has done that. And I agree with you about Connor as well. But Riley has, we talked last morning, Brew, with the foot injury that was only kept him at 70%. He felt all last season. He seems in preseason to have established at least an identity that I'm going to be A, better, and B, I'm going to be comfortable in what they're asking of me in this system. There's something to be said for that. That continues to create, though, a little bit of a defensive conundrum in the sense of, you know, you've already got now your lefties, we know, in Lindholm. I don't see how Zboril's not
there. Yeah, they love him, right?
Right. And I think rightfully so.
I agree. I think there's no question he's in the opening roster for me.
Yeah. So then your third pair, you know, Forbert. You know, or do you move Zboril to the right? And are you keeping Strahlman? I haven't seen enough of Anton, even though I've seen enough of Anton over the years to feel at least, I think, comfortable. But, you know, are we assuming that Carlo and Clifton are both in the opening lineup?
I mean,
so therefore you're leaving, that's that number two slot then. Whatever you want to, I mean, if Strahlman goes flanks, Hampus Lindholm, okay, whatever. We don't throw the numbers out. Are those two guys, you know, already in it? So now what do you do on that right side?
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see how much they want to hold to left-right shots and how important that is to them. And it is, the Strahlman one's interesting. I don't have a very good feel. My initial thought was a guy like that's coming to camp on a PTO to make this team. There's some guys that come on PTOs for other teams to show the league. Right. He's not doing that. He came here to try and make this team. He's not at a point in his career where he's a show me guy. So that leads me to believe that he was told that there was an opportunity.
Yeah.
Now, has that opportunity changed? Why wasn't he in a lineup tonight? He's been getting the good games up until now. Now,
he's getting treated like a veteran.
Is he getting is he getting the treatment for the Wednesday, Saturday games? Like, what's right now, he's being treated like he's going to sign a contract. I don't have any reason to think that he is or he isn't. I'm just going off of how he's been treated and where he's slotted in. He's played with the best defenseman the whole time he's been in the lineup.
Yeah.
And he hasn't had to go and play this game. So that's not typical for a PTO guy. And that's what makes me think that there is still a very good opportunity. He's in the lineup going forward. But I don't know how that mixes in with everybody else either.
And all the contracts and everything.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
It is. I'm not seeing this totally clear right yet to form this is absolutely what I think is going to happen. And I do think is a viable option for this team for the now.
Yeah.
Is he a viable option for the team for the then, the future, the 6 weeks?
December, January.
December, exactly. And then is it an easy enough contract that they can move him if need be or move it? Probably. I'm assuming this is a one-at-one deal.
Yeah. Yeah. If not less. But
else is going to have to get moved for a roster spot.
That's right.
So,
and we haven't even touched the forwards, right? When you talk about all that. So it's very, very similar up front.
Right. The big news up front, no question, no ifs, ands, or buts, is the injury to Taylor Hall.
Mm-hmm. Changed things a lot.
Boy, does it ever. For a team that has already suffered significant injuries to Brad Marchand, Charlie McAvoy, Matt Grizzlick. And again, Grizz, a little ahead of schedule. McAvoy and Marchand are skating, but they're still late November, December away. This is one, your obvious moment of the night, that they can't afford. Because, you know, there was already questions about their D, right? We talked about that last show, about how the D would make major differences. But now you're talking your top two left wings.
Yeah.
Week to week with an unknown injury.
Very unknown.
We watched it. I've talked to people. I've read things. Nobody really seems to know. I mean, it's week to week.
Yeah, that's
that's a That could be a, I mean, that sounds shitty to me.
I know it does. And you wonder if it's just the way they worded it and they didn't want to have to, they didn't want to have to talk about it when roster spots are being made in the next few days. So maybe they just say, we're going to say week to week, meaning he's going to miss this week and next week. And then that's it. But we're just going to put it out of mind and not have to deal with Raw. Maybe. But when I hear week to week, I think 4 to 6 weeks.
Exactly. Like
that's what I think right away. And and to see that play and not really know where the 4 to 6 would have come through in there, it leaves, again, a lot of, there's just so many question marks. And that has compounded them all between not just how long is he actually hurt for, what is he actually hurt, but the way it opens up the roster in a bunch of different ways.
So talk is that Pavel Zacha, who was slated to play on the left side of Patrice Bergeron with Jake DeBrusk on the right, talk is that Zacha will get shifted, could get shifted, to the left of David Krejci. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Makes sense.
Yeah, all check line. Okay.
Yep.
But does it make sense? Now who do you put on the left side? Jim Montgomery. Talked about AJ Greer, Foligno, Frederick. Am I missing anybody? I
don't know. I don't know if I'm jumping ahead on this, but
jump ahead. It's fine.
Fabian Lizelle. The door cracks for him. And if I'm him,
but if it only cracks for him, if you're willing to put DeBrusk on the left.
And move around. Does this give him? Does he have an opportunity? Is there enough days left? Can he have a great performance Wednesday and a great performance Saturday? Put on the line with those guys. If this injury isn't that bad, to crack his way in for a week or 10 days or 2 weeks in this lineup. This is the top six spot that we talked about. That Lysel would only garner. He's not a bottom six guy. Opens up a little bit.
It's a fair hypothetical scenario, no question. Just interesting. My memory sucks, but I don't remember Jim Montgomery talking about that as an option.
Not at all. It came to me tonight.
And, you know, watching Lizelle, I see his goodness. I do. I see his right now, his weakness. It's just his strength. Mm-hmm. Fact. It's not even a criticism. It's at all. It's a fact. Needs to get stronger. I'd hate to see him in a real game.
Him lining up with Ovi.
Oh, I mean, get Ovi. How about a big old defenseman on that
Johnny Carlson
left side? You know, yeah. I mean,
but
maybe, just maybe. I mean, I would hate to see him in a spot where, yes, he could succeed because he's with a really great center. Mm-hmm. And that, again, that would mean that Jake DeBrusk gets shifted to the left side, which to me seems kind of okay. Do it.
Yeah.
But
if you're low on left wingers.
But you're not.
I mean, no, I know.
But you're not low on left wingers, but you are low on top six left wingers.
Yes.
Because right now, none of Greer, Frederick, or Foligno fills that spot.
No, none of that excites me.
Right.
You're a checking line then.
Right. So now Patrice Bergeron, 5-time Selke Award winner, literally becomes a defensive center.
Exactly.
Just curious about that. I mean, look, you still have, the opening night is not till October 12th. Have a week to figure it out, which doesn't sound like a long time, but it kind of is. A couple of games and a couple of practices. I don't know. I'd like to see a more offensive line than a checking line created there. So on the surface right now, I'd like to see, I guess, Jake move to the left and somebody jump up to the right. Now, Lizelle's the only guy to move up to the right.
Smith?
Okay, well, you move Craig Smith up there. Do you move Steen then or McLaughlin or?
Someone with Coyle there.
Yeah. Maybe that's where you put Steen.
Yeah, you can fit guys in there, right?
Yeah.
Interesting tonight, and the big takeaway that I got tonight was, and I'd be concerned if this was me, Thomas Nosek, 12 minutes tonight. 12:09, one of the lowest minutes for a forward tonight. Where does that, that's an interesting one, because I've been saying all along he's a lock as that fourth line center, and that concerns me from that point of view.
I'm thinking Stanika is in line now for that fourth line center spot.
Hmm.
I'm thinking that for now.
It felt like that tonight. Felt like that tonight.
I think that Jack Stanika, he was good in the face-off circle tonight. What was he on Monday night? 12, I think? 11 of 14. Okay, it's nice. And again, numbers don't matter that much. Ice time is an indicator, though. That is one number that matters. Stanika, by the way, against New Jersey, played 17 minutes and 3 seconds. I think they would like that to happen for right now at the fourth line center. But he's going to have to, it's going to be hard for him because he's not going to play 17 minutes. He's going to play 12 minutes.
Yes, that's right.
So he needs to play a good 12 minutes, a hard 12 minutes, an impactful 12 minutes, which for anybody that's used to playing 15 to 20 minutes a game, going to 12 is tough.
It's a lot.
And that's one of the big lessons when guys go from one level to the next. I think anybody out there who's played at a, forget NHL level, but at a good level, high level, when you work your way up that pyramid, you know, and you're playing less if you're not one of the stars, it's a different mindset. And it's a real education and a real challenge. But I got to think that would be, now, but again, we go to four right centers then. You don't have a lefty faceoff guy. I've liked Chris Wagner's game. I've liked Mark McLaughlin's game.
Mm-hmm.
I've been mixed on Frederick's game and mixed on Foligno's. I've seen some and not seen enough on some. I don't think they would put Nosek at left wing, but maybe.
I've been talking about Nosek. I just keep going back to, again, I look at opening night. You need penalty killers that have been in the league. I just can't imagine going up against the Washington power play with Bergeron and just everybody else and what that looks like, especially to your point, that left center, to be able to throw him out there when that draws on the left-hand side, to be able to pull that to the corner, it just is such a luxury and almost a necessity at times.
Well, we know that McLaughlin has, he's waiver exempt, so he could be an easy one to get set down. I like the fact that the kid has shown a little bit of gusto.
He's in the way all the time.
He's
always in the way.
You're saying his name or you're hearing his name. I love the fact that Wagner has played his game. Is it enough? I don't know yet. Is it enough? But he has been could he be a penalty killer for you too? Yeah, he could. But he's played his game. He's done his part. And, you know, he's busting his hump to be a Bruin when camp, a B Bruin, not a P Bruin.
Yeah.
When camp breaks. But again, is it enough? Has Steen done enough? I don't know. I don't remember his numbers from the game.
He only had 13 minutes, 48 seconds. He took a penalty that wasn't really a penalty. He had a takeaway, not much to it. Didn't play a lot of shorthanded time, which was a little surprise too. I mean, he did take one of the penalties, but he only played 33 seconds beyond that. So he got to the net a couple times, but again, tonight was not a good sample for anybody. It really wasn't. But again, he was a guy that you would expect needed something more tonight.
Right. I don't love the feeling of thinking that Taylor Hall's out for any extended period of time. You know, without your top two left wings all of a sudden, I just don't like that feel at all. And I was excited for Hall, Pasta, and Krejci.
Yes. That was your top scoring. That was your number one scoring line at that point.
So forgive me, folks, if I have that kind of Billy panic right now. It's not extreme just yet, partly because I'm...
And it's 10 days. It's 10 days.
10 days away.
Yeah.
Right. So let's see.
That's technically week to week.
Yeah.
You know, for...
How good... I want to ask you about David Krejci, something on the... Because I had this the other day on the set. I was talking with Sophia about it during one of the Nesson games. And, you know, Krejci and his one-timer. How close is it to Pasternak's one-timer?
Oh, it's deceptive. It's not fast. It's not as quick.
It's heavy, though.
But it's heavy. Yeah, it's more of the Malkin type one-timer. Okay. More
but
than
he's
Gino.
Got the second best one timer on the Bruins.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. No. Yeah. Almost no question. Yeah.
No question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hall doesn't take one timers.
No.
Brad had to work on taking one timers last year.
Yeah.
Patrice takes like a sweep shot more than anything.
No, he's a snapper. In the honey hole there. There's no defenseman, which I've been talking about for a while. They need someone to shoot the puck
right.
A little harder,
they need a hammer from the back.
They need a hammer from the back end. They don't have it. So yeah, it's David Krejci.
Right. So you know Krejci and you know. Hall was going to be one of the power play guys, whether they did four or five guys.
Yeah.
I don't mind the five guy, by the way. I don't mind him trying it at all. Is it the end all be all? You know, they've given up a lot of shorties in the last couple of years.
They have.
Would they give up any more?
They're not giving up more, right? They're not going to give up more. And if it works, and that's where you get you got to score on the power play. And if that's what it is, even as a goaltender, I'm not scared by the five because one, you have Patrice Bergeron on the ice during that five, and two, you have David Krejci on the ice during that five. It's not five David Pasternak's out there. It's not complete, careless, irresponsible, just trying to score, and who cares if we give up a shorthanded breakaway. So I would be okay with it. It doesn't seem like that's going to happen now that Hall's out. Because again, Lindholm's pretty valuable, and I wouldn't mind seeing him get in the mix in that and seeing how he fits because he never really got a great opportunity in the last eight or nine games last season. I would love to see how he mixes with those guys and if they could get a little bit of chemistry with Lindholm back there.
I think they need to get him involved a bit.
Yeah, and he's a guy, doesn't it feel like he's a guy that will thrive? And will play better if he gets those power play opportunities. He's going to be in a better mood. He's going to be happier. Yeah. He's going to contribute more the rest of the game.
Yeah. There are some guys whose personality
need
that. And I do agree with you that I think his personality would love that, relish it.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, it's a necessity now.
Yeah.
So who else are you going to turn to? So we got some questions. Let's take some of those on this brew. Some of the fans, I did a late kind of bulletin board, put your questions here. And there's some good ones. We're going to rifle through a bunch of them, all right? Mark asks, what's better for this team? Charlie Coyle at three center, putting up what he says is 32 to 36 points at his cap hit, or Studnika Beecher stepping into that role? Right now, Beecher, I've seen some nice stuff from him.
Yeah.
But I'm not ready to put him anywhere near that role. Studnika, I would love to think one day he could, but haven't we kind of hoped that for the last couple of years? I think you start him at fourth line center if you're going to start him somewhere. Coyle is, in my opinion, even though he's not as good as I'd love him to be at the center, the faceoff dot, he's more of a 46% guy. I'd love him to be 50, 52%. But I got to think that he would be, to me, he's the better option right there. And, you know, is it Smith on the right? When everybody's healthy, Smith and
Zacha.
I got to think it's that line.
That sounds so tantalizing as your third line, doesn't it? On paper, it just looks so good and so formidable.
Now, listen, Mark, if Charlie doesn't put up numbers and Studnika can put up 40 points.
Yeah, and again,
the cap hit.
Those are the two words that jump out in the question, right? It's the cap hit. But the reality is the cap hit is going to be there. You got to pay. You're paying him $5 million no matter what. You're not dealing him. You're not moving him. If you are, you're trading for another guy who's $5 million because no one's taking that on right now in a cap world. So you got to pay your guy. You look at what Calgary's paying Kadri, and everyone's getting $7-8 million as a third line centers. That there's guys that are getting paid that. So I think Coyle does a lot at that third line.
But again, he's a key player this year, especially early on in the season.
Yeah.
With all the injuries. Dingleberry. I love the name. Power play struggled last year, struggling this preseason. Have you noticed any differences in zone entries or how the Bruins attack the D? Well, I mean,
throw the preseason right out.
Right now, Dingleberry, buddy. the power play without Marchand, without McAvoy,
Pasta hasn't played yet. Tonight's power play was Beecher, Studnika, Jack Eichon, Mike Riley,
yeah.
I mean, it's...
So I guess that's a premature power play question.
Yeah.
It's not that we don't want to answer it. It's just that would be an I for incomplete. It's not going to look the same, though, for a while, especially now with Hall out, too.
Yeah, so I like the idea of adding Krejci and Lindholm to a power play that what they weren't there last year. I think that's a positive.
Potential, absolutely. So, Dingleberry, let's get back to that question in perhaps 6 weeks or so. AJ wants to know, AJ Beck, who starts in game one and why in net?
Jeremy Swayman, because he did all the preseason media tour for the Boston Bruins, and he finished the playoffs last year, and I think they want him to be a number one guy.
Yeah, hard to argue, although I did like Linus's game on
Saturday. Oh, no, Linus is going to play lots, and Linus is going to push. Listen, he is this guy, he is good every single year.
Yeah.
His numbers are good. I think there is another question. But no, it's Jeremy Swayman, but it's not because... It's just because one of them has to start the first game.
Right. Interesting. Two preseason games left.
Yeah.
I imagine they each get one more full game each.
Yeah, that's the way I see it.
Would that have an impact?
I don't think so.
Okay. I'm going to go with Swayman as well because of the end of last year.
Yeah, playoffs.
That's it. Yeah. That's what I'm going with. Maria wants to know, Maria of Watertown, how do you expect Montgomery to handle the goalies? Split the load relatively even to start the season? I'm going to have to say I think so, but yeah. I don't think he will hesitate if one guy runs early on, gets on a roll, that he'll stick with him for a bit. I wouldn't. I don't think he would.
Yeah, this early on, I think there's urgency. Well, there's urgency, one, for a new coach to start well. There's urgency because of the injuries. They're going to run with the guy a little bit, but there's also back-to-backs early in the season. You're going to see both guys, and I think they feel – like they have as much depth at the goalie position as anywhere else. And I've talked to Swayman, I've talked to Allmark separately, and they've talked a lot about how hard it is to play in the NHL as a goaltender now and how you need to get rest. And so you are going to see both of these guys play a lot, but to your point, Billy, early on, if somebody's winning four games, somebody's losing three games, the guy winning four games is probably going to get a couple more extra ones in there.
Caitlin wants to know, concern haven't been able to score multiple goals in both away preseason games so far. No, and she wants to know about the power play too. I love the question in a sense, but we just already talked about it. I'm not judging this power play at all right now.
Yeah, and how it's going to be different is it's still kind of up in the air now because of Hall. And we haven't got a good idea what it looks like. But I think the difference is, obviously, Krejci's playing the power play. There's no question about that. Yeah. And does Lindholm get in the mix?
Ideally, I think Lindholm does in the season in a second power play unit, not the number one unit.
Starting out.
But starting out, yes.
Yeah.
Now I think he does. Brian, Andrew, who do you think is the bottom six if the season started tomorrow? Who do you think's going on waivers? Well, the guys who have to go on waivers, if, you know, the bottom six, I mean, I got to think, it changes with the Hall injury. That opens up a potential door for one of these guys who would have, you know, been put on waivers. Whether it was a Wagner, I mean, do you say, look, he cleared all last year, we'll put him on waivers, clear him, and then be able to call him up to have him play right away because we want to keep him and take that chance? Maybe, yeah, they might.
Yeah, that's the wave. That's where the game's at for this team, and that's why it's so hard, because that adds the extra wrinkle is, like, are they looking around the league right now? Who's going through waivers? Who's getting claimed? And how can we squeeze a guy through?
Right.
That's a big part of waivers, is how to keep the assets you want and get them through without anyone picking them up.
Yeah.
And there's an art to that. There's a game to that.
See, right now, I agree with you all about, we talked earlier about Nosek and the whole making the team and this and that. And I said last morning, Brew, I think he'd get picked up. Is it okay if I change I'm not so sure in a matter of 5 days since we last recorded?
No, because it's going to change again in the next 4 days, I bet.
I could maybe see that happening. I could maybe see him being put on waivers.
Mm-hmm.
Try and
hope he doesn't get picked up.
Maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I feel, yeah.
Bottom six, though, right now, I mean, Coyle Smith, but is Smith jumping up to the top line? We don't know. Right now, Greer's in the mix.
Yep.
Right now, I would say Stanika's in my mix.
Yeah.
I would take Wagner right now. Yeah. I would.
Yeah.
Based on what I've seen in practice and in camp games. But others might say, well, what about a Lauko or a Steen? I don't know. I don't know if there's enough.
Foligno?
A Foligno? I mean, he's in a battle, man.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Does his salary help him or hurt him? That's another thing. That, like, I don't know. I don't know how they're going to play this out. Because it could go both ways. It could help him. It could hurt him at the end of the day. And
what about Frederick?
That's what I mean. And then there's Frederick. And then there's Stanika. And there's like eight or nine names.
I think Stanika
is a lock.
No. I'd say he's close.
Inside lock.
Inside edge.
Yeah. And Greer would be there too then, I would assume.
One of them. Again, with the Hall injury right now, yeah.
Yeah.
To start the season at least, yeah. Interesting. Tough question.
It is really tough right now. I've been thinking about
this. Here, JC asked, any insights into the offensive scheme for this team? The broadcast has mentioned more D in the rush. I'd love some more details or insights. I mean, definitely more D involved. D involved via not leading the breakout, but getting into the breakout from even just, you know, skating into a play to come up the ice or helping lead the breakout, but not above the puck. They're with the puck. There's no question they're involved there. I do think you'll see even a little bit more flow, a little bit more cycle from the D, kind of coming in from the point too.
Riley did that tonight a couple times. Did a really nice job jumping, pinching down, yep, getting in behind the net, wrapping around the puck again. That's his game. But that's, to your point, anyone listening or like that, there was plays by Riley jumping into the zone is what I meant to offer an explanation on that.
So the scheme for that is, you know, I do think they're also going to overload sides more on breakouts. They do. I think they're going to, you know, kind of hit up the ice like that and then hit weak side more if they can as well. Create some, not a diversion, but muscle the, you know, quickly get the puck up, maybe overload, and then have a weak side element with that F4, which is really D1, getting up involved. But I hate this answer because I've already said it at least, I think, twice. We haven't seen this team together. I've seen them practice together.
And even that.
Right. They're still learning.
There's still two groups out on the ice. Right. Like, they really need to get down to, like, for us to go to practice,
right,
it doesn't work until there's 18 guys, 21 guys on the ice. When there's two groups of 15,
right,
it's really hard to get a sense. And that's what we're going to see Thursday. I would think there might be a few cuts tonight on the plane, tomorrow morning. There'll be a Wednesday roster. And then I would imagine
they come home, right? And then they go to New York again?
Correct. Okay. Quick flight back and forth. Yeah. So I would say tomorrow afternoon, you'll see a few cuts, meaning Tuesday afternoon. Wednesday will be a big game probably for that bottom six group again.
Yeah.
And then Thursday is waiver day, big time day, and you're going to see a lineup Saturday.
Right.
Right. And you're going to want to get, because again, you play on, Sunday's going to be a day off.
Yes.
So then you're looking at Monday, Tuesday practice. You got to
cap compliant by Monday, I believe.
So there you go.
It's either Sunday night or Monday. I don't remember which one.
So they're going to want to have a good practice Tuesday, good pregame
Tuesday.
Or no, sorry, good practice, even Thursday, I would say. Right? Going into Saturday's
game.
Oh,
this week you're talking
about. Yeah, this week. I'm talking about Thursday. Like, after Wednesday night's game, you're gonna get right to as close as you can to 22.
I'm wondering which day they're going to take off, though, because they practice Sunday. They played Monday. Aren't they practicing tomorrow?
They got to practice tomorrow, right? Because all the big guys didn't play Monday night, so everyone else will get to the rink.
Yeah, there has to be a day off somewhere.
Sunday.
You're not going to go 6-7 days in a row, though, are you? 6 days in a row? Maybe. I don't know. It's interesting. We're going to have to look because they played Saturday, practiced Sunday, practice skated and played Monday, if you're saying Tuesday and Wednesday going, and then Thursday and Friday, I think one of those days is going to be off.
Oh, somewhere. Yeah. I was thinking, yeah, well, yeah, Thursday's off.
Thursday's got to be
Thursday's
off.
Cut day. Friday's practice.
Yeah, yeah.
I jumped ahead. I forgot about Friday.
It's got to be. Yeah,
Thursday. I forget about Friday.
All right, great questions. There may be a few more, but we're going to we'll cut it off here. Listen, we're going to come back with a show after the last game. We're not going to do it on Saturday night. We're going to end up doing it on Sunday. Probably Sunday.
Cap compliant morning brew.
Cap compliant, yeah, know all about it, and then everybody ready, and then the schedule, we're going to get it out and, you know, doing two shows a week, and it'll be fun and looking forward to it. All right?
Love it. All right. I'm excited for my Billy time again.
Yeah. Oh,
we're
yeah.
Back.
And we may have one or two fun things coming out too soon.
Love fun things.
Jaffe and Razor.
Well, we're the minds are the wheels, the hamster wheels,
they've been
churning.
They have been. They have been. All right. So that's this Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor. Again, talking to you after the New Jersey game. This will be coming out sometime Tuesday afternoon, maybe Tuesday night. We'll get it out. And everybody enjoy it. We'll talk to you after the October 8th game. Again, the 9th or the 10th, when the new season, so to speak, will begin. Everybody have a wonderful couple of days. And as always, enjoy that coffee.